y'all. Today we have something special from the archives. This being really the only interview we did with the show's run, with former VP of Knott's Berry Farm creative Robin S. Hall. Back when the Knott's family really wanted to branch out, this guy designed so much for them, including unbuilt theme parks and expansions, and my beloved Knott's Camp Snoopy. If you want more on this, you could check out our 2021 episode, Knott's Berry Farmed Out. But for now, please give a listen to this fascinating interview. Enjoy. Hi, we are here today with a very special treat. We are interviewing Robin Stewart Hall. You were the former VP and design and architecture at Knott's Berry Farm. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Oh, all right. Can you give us some details on how you started out in the theme park industry?
Certainly. I started at Magic Mountain as looking for a summer job, and I was hired as a contractor to do a little work on a theater in the Showcase Theater out there. They were putting together a show for a group called the King Family. And I went there right from CalArts, right before I graduated, and started painting the set and screwing in light bulbs and doing all that kind of stuff. And I figured Magic Mountain looked like a fun place for a summer job. And so I tried to figure out what to do, because this was just working for a guy named Peter Foy, who was building this set. And I went and applied, and they heard I was an artist, so they hired me into merchandise to cut silhouettes of people. And I was a pretty shy fellow and did not really enjoy that very much. And luckily for me, the stage manager at the time in the theater decided to threaten the entertainment director. And so he was fired, and I was the only one that they knew of that knew how to run this set piece, because it was very involved. It had elevators and tracked up and down stage, and was for a big production show. So I came over there and worked for a while running this set. I had no musical ability whatsoever. And so the dancers that were in the show would hit me on the shoulder, so I would press the buttons so the elevators would go up at the right timing and all that kind of stuff. And then I worked Dancing Waters for a little bit. And the way I got in really into the theme park business beyond this kind of exercise was when they went to the winter season, they cut back my hours, and I was very happy making $2.10 an hour. And then when it was cut from 40 hours to 32, I felt rather poor. So I started doing a weekly cartoon for them, featuring the entertainment that was going to be happening each weekend, because they were only open on weekends. And I got noticed from doing that cartoon, and the art director at that time went on a month's vacation to Columbia, and so they transferred me over from the entertainment division to the planning division as an assistant art coordinator to somebody I never met and never did meet. And I was doing signs and little fence details and things like that. And they decided that I was pretty good at that. I don't know why they decided that, but the art director never returned. And I grew that job into being art director for the whole park and working on designs for things like everything up to Colossus were my projects, like Spillikin Corners, which was a big crafts village. The Revolution Coaster, which is the first steel loop roller coaster in the West Coast, certainly. Mm-hmm. In Coney Island, I think they originally had a loop coaster. But anyway, so that's how I got into it. And then eventually I went and did some planning for the Newhall Land and Farming Company, doing industrial buildings and shopping centers and house colors for their homes in Valencia. And the people that I'd worked with at Magic Mountain, the management anyway, moved down to Knott's Berry Farm. Mm. And they brought me down to design what eventually became Camp Snoopy. Mm. And so that's how I got to Knott's Berry Farm. And since then, I've just been doing work all over the world, mostly in China and the Middle East.
So at Knott's Berry Farm, how long were you there at Knott's?
I was there for 17 years. 17. I started as, yeah, a long time. I started as a art director and then became director and then vice president and blah, blah, blah.
What were, after Camp Snoopy, what were some of your projects that you got to do after that? I saw Kingdom of the Dinosaurs was one of them.
Oh, Kingdom of the Dinosaurs. We did Ghost Town Alive, which brought back most of the crafts into the Ghost Town area. Mm-hmm. And we wrote, you know, we did a lot more crafts than they'd originally had. Mm-hmm. And wrote scripts for them and trained UPS workers to be blacksmiths and glass blowers and all that kind of stuff.
Now, go ahead.
Oh, and then we just went about and revitalized Knott's Berry Farm because it had been kind of languishing. The last big project they'd done was sort of the Roaring Twenties rework, and everything was relatively tired. So we just went around the park upgrading things from Fiesta Village and adding the Jaguar roller coaster and the games buildings and things out there. We had to do a lot of rework to all of the Bud Herbert attractions because they were really old and falling apart. Like we redid the mine ride and the log ride, all of what was then Fiesta Village. And just we did, let's see, the Whitewater Rapids, I think it was called.
Yeah, Bigfoot Rapids, I think it was first
called. Yeah, Bigfoot Rapids is what it eventually became, yeah. We redid that, or we built that, and we did Mystery Lodge with BRC Imagination Arts. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, just there was tons of work all the time. And while that was going on at one point, we also, the president of the company wanted to use the Snoopy characters as an outreach on different projects across the world. And so we did Mall of America, the Knott's Camp Snoopy there. We did different plans for ones in China and Japan, Taiwan. Oh, wow. You know, so almost none of them got built.
Yeah, exactly.
Bloomington, Minnesota.
Right. Now, can we talk about Knott's Camp Snoopy for a moment? I went there as a child, and it's one of my most cherished childhood memories. Unfortunately, it's Nickelodeon Universe now, but back then, in 1992, it opened as Knott's Camp Snoopy. So can you talk a little bit about the design of that and how that came about?
Well, Terry Van Gorder, who was the president of Knott's Berry Farm, was trying to get the family to think bigger and leverage the fact that they had a very successful theme park and get different properties. Mm-hmm. And that particular project, I think, came from the developer, Melvin Simon, and the Germasian Brothers, which were a group that did the Edmonton Mall in Canada. They wanted to have some kind of entertainment component in this mall that was being designed by John Jurdy. Mm-hmm. The Germasian Brothers were not looked upon fondly by the various financial investors, and this mall was a huge project, and so they wanted a name park to be part of this. Mm-hmm. So they approached Knott's Berry Farm, and we did kind of a special deal with them where our investment was mostly in the design and the licensing of the Snoopy property. Mm-hmm. And Terry really believed in water and landscape and designing things for children. And that was the way to bring the whole family there. And it was much less about thrill rides and much more about trying to build environments and places. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to put this Knott's Camp Snoopy product in the center of this mall. Mm-hmm. And there was kind of a long thing back and forth with Jerdy's office at that time, because they were looking at a very sort of dynamic and space, and we wanted a big contiguous space so we could have lots of landscapes and stream running through it, all of that kind of stuff. And he kept wanting to put hotels in the middle and bridges going across it and all of that kind of stuff. And so most of the design time was eaten up in just getting one big, large space. And we had little less than kind of, I think it was just about a year, we had to design it and get well under construction. And so I worked with a group that's no longer around, Hope Architects, out of the San Diego area. And we hired them to be the architects, and I was the designer. And I used my staff at Knott's, Tracy Cabiola and Paul Eddy and a couple of draftsmen, to set the design for everything. Mm-hmm. And then we'd send that down to Hope Architects, and then it would come back and I would redline the sets. And we used our construction people and the people from Hope Architects to work with the city of Bloomington to get the code approvals and things. I mean, that's not a very glamorous thing for probably most of your audience to hear, but that was one of the most difficult things, was to get them to adjust the code for this kind of a development, because it just hadn't been done on this kind of a scale. And we had all these very elaborate exit paths and distances, and the way they figured out how to do the code was they figured it out was sort of like a skyscraper laid on its side and all this kind of stuff, trying to adjust the code to make it, to get this project to go through. Mm-hmm. Now it's fairly commonplace, and they have, you know, big shopping centers with entertainment areas sort of spread across the world. But mm-hmm. Again, we were like at the very early beginning. There was Lotte World in Korea, and there was Edmonton Mall in Canada.
Right.
Anyway, that's the short story of it. I designed something, and then it gets redesigned, and then rehabbed, and then torn down, and something else put in its place.
So. Right. Now, as you said earlier, Knott's did other theme park proposals. There's a lot on your site, such as Knott's Landing Sacramento and Knott's Landing Indiana. Can you talk about some of those ideas? I know they were also doing Branson. They thought they were going to do Branson as well.
We drew, I mean, basically none of these really got beyond the concept phases of them. Mm-hmm. But we worked with the city of Sacramento and the city of Indianapolis and in Branson, Missouri, you know, get understanding what all roads were going to be. We also did some work in Myrtle Beach, too, trying to develop. They were all exciting projects to me, because I always thought they were going to go forward. But one of the difficulties was the Knott family did not want to invest their own money in it. And so it was always, we were on projects with using the Knott's name, the Snoopy character, or the Peanuts character, and the sweat equity of our design group. And that certainly got us in the door, and we did a lot of talking, but it always came down to our partners not really wanting to invest the amount of money that it took, if Knott family wasn't going to invest some money into it. Mm-hmm. And so most of it died on the vine. It was different with, because really relying on the entertainment component, because that park was so big, and it was I don't know whether it's still the biggest park or still the biggest mall in the country or not. I don't keep up on that kind of stuff, but at the time it was, and they were deathly afraid they wouldn't be able to lease the whole project. Mm-hmm. Without having this, because it kind of took them quite a while to get everything all settled and the spaces filled to be profitable. But the most of the other projects, whether it was in Indianapolis or Myrtle Beach or Sacramento, we had lots of meetings with the city. We investigated various different sites, did, you know, grading, worked out the program we were going to put in. We were trying to leverage both the Peanuts characters and the ghost town Knott's name and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was certainly fun for my group and I to do all the drawings for. Mm-hmm. But it just didn't fully go anywhere.
Yeah. And you guys were going to do Japan, China, Taiwan. Were those indoor parks?
No, they were outdoor. They were full-on parks.
Oh, wow.
And you know, I still have good relationship with a lot of those people that we worked with that time. It's just it all goes back to the financial kind of ramifications and not having enough investment from the mm-hmm. the family side.
Right. Now, the Knott's master plan that is on your site, that was going to be an expansion of the entire Buena Park property, that had the spacewalk, the country walk, and the rainforest center. Can you talk about that? How did that come about, and what was it going to be?
Terry Van Gorder, who was a real visionary and poet and everything else. He was kind of a natural genius. He was at this point giving up on having the Knott family invest in these outside projects. And he realized that the Knott's Berry Farm and all the surrounding parking lots and land was really suitable for development. I mean, there was a lot of land there, and you could leverage that land and put a lot of different product on there and really drive it to be more of a resort center than it currently was. So Terry hired my old boss from the Magic Mountain days, Tom Sutton, who is a really talented architect. And he and I and a landscape architect, who Dennis Kurtz, worked on how we would redo Knott's into the future, and, you know, reach over towards the Buena Park Mall. It was on the other side, add some hotels, and really drive this whole park into the future. Developing, you know, parking garages so we could, you know, sell off some of the land to leverage the money and all this other kind of stuff that's needed to drive these projects. And then when Terry presented it to the family, they looked at it and realized that they were indeed had a very valuable property here. But at this point, the younger generation of the Knott family was really wanting to kind of cash in on this. The Knott the older members of the family, Marion and Tony and Russell, whatever, they wanted to hold on to Knott's Berry Farm and run it into the future, whereas the younger generation wanted to leverage it and get the money out of it. And so instead of doing the development themselves and following this vision, they went out to various other parks and developers to see if they could sell this project to them or get the money from it, from this. And everybody, including Disney, looked at the property, and Cedar Fair was the one that eventually came in with the highest bid. Mm-hmm. And so the Knott family decided that they would sell it.
Wow. Now, the master plan, can you talk about some of the ideas that you had in it and some of your favorites? Because like stuff like the Rainforest Museum.
Right.
Yeah, my co-host and I were really bonkers about that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Again, a lot of this was driven by Terry's vision for the future. He mm-hmm. was worried about the ecology. I don't think it wasn't sort of like it was today. It was more about that the trees were being lost across the thing. The air quality was really bad. Water sources were getting contaminated and all this stuff. And he wanted to make a statement that would help preserve things like the rainforest in the Amazon and things like that. And so he thought that if we could do some attraction that would be educational and interactive, that would have a tremendous draw and then help with it. It wasn't so much the worrying about the climate as we're doing now. It was really just more about the toll that humans were doing on the planet because they just weren't paying attention to the animals and the trees and the water and that kind of stuff.
And, go ahead.
Go ahead. So we tried to make an environment on multiple levels where you could go up through the jungle into, you know, the up vertically, and then have attractions down on the ground, various animals through there, and then suspension bridges across and zip lines and things that were, you know, almost like a resort down in Cabo San Lucas or something, you know. And having water run through it and fish in the streams. And we thought that would be a good anchor for it and would be a good attraction, because we were also at that time looking at putting hotels on that side of the street going through there. And we were having theaters and other kinds of things over there. So we wanted something that wasn't high theme park on that side, so that the theme park attractions and the more active and visceral kinds of attractions were on the park side of the road. And then on the Independence Hall side, that side was a little bit more kind of what Downtown Disney turned out to be, you know, lots of stores and retails and theaters, that kind of stuff. And the rainforest felt like a good attraction along with that.
And the spacewalk area, that entire little expansion to the park itself. Can you talk about that and how that was going to be?
Well, it was kind of more of the philosophy that, again, Terry was sort of preaching, is that we're all, you know, we're just on a small planet floating through the universe. Mm-hmm. And he was very big on education. We were talking about, you know, reaching for the stars and that kind of stuff. And I started drawing these big ellipses and circles and like planets to sort of organize an area where we could do some space themes, because, you know, the various attractions NASA was doing in collaboration with various other designers, where they were featuring their rockets, were proving to be quite popular at that time. And so we decided to do this big area that had various attractions and just steam them all towards space as a different theme. California was the main theme of Knott's Berry Farm through the years. And he was trying to stretch that with going towards the rainforest and going towards space. It just seemed like a fun, attractive way to retheme a bunch of areas. I'd worked on a roller coaster concept for the Boardwalk, which was like Race to Saturn, where we were theming the buildings as a big Saturn and various planets and dark ride kinds of experiences going through that. And it never really went anywhere. We did lots of different concepts for that. Race to Atlantis was one on a, we're going underneath the ground into a dark ride and then coming back out, that kind of stuff. And I liked the architecture of that, and that I brought that over into this kind of space park by doing these big dome buildings and things like that.
Very cool. All right. So moving away from Knott's, what are your favorite unbuilt projects? A lot of things that you worked on, but never actually got made.
Well, I was spoiled when I worked at Knott's Berry Farm because about 90% of the things I drew got built. And now I'm lucky if I get 10% of the stuff I draw built. I've done probably, I don't want to exaggerate, but I've probably done 10 theme park designs, if not more, that are sitting in drawers and have never gotten built. So I have lots of kinds of favorite attractions that never went anywhere. Most of them are in China, but one project in the Middle East was just a massive project in Dubai that I think eventually Universal opened one of the lands as a park, but I was working for Edo at that time, and we did this project that had 7 parks.
Wow.
In one. You know, one was like an Animal Kingdom park, one was a thrill ride Six Flags type park, one was a movie park which became Universal, and then there was a local animation company that had cartoons on the television, so we had a cartoon land based on their stuff. I mean, that was all kinds of fun stuff. One of my favorite projects that did get built was Ocean Park in Hong Kong. Mm. And I did a $700 million master plan of that park, and they built most of it.
Oh, wow.
But I really just did the planning for it and the grading, mm-hmm. Which I'm quite proud of. This is a very difficult site. But the attractions, since they had other architects do it, the Cunningham Group and several other firms worked on different parts of the project. But the master plan was done with myself and Vertex, which was a company with Philip Vaughn and Drone Iyengar that I worked with after I kind of left Knott's. I was with a couple of different groups. Mm-hmm. One was Green Hall, and one was Vertex Productions out of Altadena. And we did this whole master plan for them, and it got approved by Hong Kong government, and they acquired the money for it, building it, and it's still ongoing on different parts of it. Mm-hmm. They've added a huge water park lately. They've got the MTR joining to it. So all of the stuff that we originally concepted actually came to fruition. So though I only did the very early concept and master plan on it. Mm-hmm.
There is one in your profile on your page, which your website is amazing, by the way. You could just, it's a like an hours long sink of just going through all those designs.
It's just amazing. It's just a drawing dump. I on purpose don't edit it because I probably wouldn't have anything on it if I edited it.
Yeah. There's a Jules Verne theme park, which is very fascinating. Can you just talk about that for just a second?
Sure. Well, that was kind of a funny one. I was working with Bob Rogers of the BRC Imagination Arts, and he had an idea to do a park based on Jules Verne. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the sum total of it. And he talked to me about it and asked me to draw a plan of something that he could take to IAPA with him. Mm-hmm. And it was just me putting a bunch of what I read of Jules Verne down on a piece of paper. And I got kind of excited about it. And I was only hired to do this little plan, but then I also decided I'd do a bird's eye of it. And we talked quite a bit back and forth about what the different kinds of attractions would be once thing was laid out. But again, it didn't go anywhere. It's like 1,000 other projects that are sitting in on computer files or in drawers on crumbling paper.
Oh, so many of them. So good. It's like a Warner Brothers New York theme park. Is that correct?
Yeah, there were some things like that. There was I'm trying to think. I've done a couple of things for Warner Brothers over the years.
Uh-huh. You did a Madrid one, right?
Oh yeah, that was that got built.
Yeah,
I kind of forget the ones that get built too.
Yeah,
that one was a very interesting one because Larry Wyatt, who's now working at Paramount, did the original design for that, mm-hmm. and then I was hired by Larry to come in and do the rides with my partner at the time, Bruce Green. And so we did all of the kind of basic, flat ride design and queues and that kind of stuff for it. And Warner Brothers decided they just didn't want to do the park, as I understand it. And Six Flags took it over. Mm-hmm. And there was a... Larry Wyatt and the Six Flags people couldn't come to agreement on what to the direction of the park. And so Larry Wyatt left, and I knew all the people at Six Flags because I had grown up at Magic Mountain, which became a Six Flags park.
Right.
And so then I was put in charge of finishing the project and putting in more rides, because Six Flags is traditionally a ride park, and they were inheriting a movie park. And I liked what Larry was doing and his vision for the movie park. And I also understood the Six Flags thing, so I was just put in charge of the project to finish it.
All right. Now, what recently have you been working on?
I've been working on Paramount Parks in China, Nickelodeon properties, and things like mm-hmm. that.
Oh.
Most of those projects are, over $1 billion and beyond. And I'm working with two different companies for that. Hetzel Design Group, which Brandy Hetzel is a very talented designer who does a lot of planning for Paramount, and Backpack Design, which does a lot of the technical and nuts and bolts design for projects. So those two companies hire me, and I work for the product that I produce is for the Paramount parks.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we wrap up, is there anything you would like to plug?
I would just like to say that, no, there's nothing really that I want to plug or market
mm-hmm.
To any designers out there. I would just say the way I have built my career is just draw every day. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of great mentors and people that thought I could do things that I didn't think I could do, but I would just sit down at the table and try and do them and make them work. And eventually I got better at it.
Okay, and well,
now I'm so old that I'm relatively good at it.
Okay, well, Robin, thank you so much for spending some of your time with us. Once again, you can check out his site, robinhall.com, for a lot of his designs. And we will thank you so much for being here on Unbuilt.
Yeah, the only other thing is it's Robin S. Hall.
S. Hall. S. Hall. Thank you. Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
You have a great day. Once again, we'd like to thank Robin S. Hall for coming with us to explore the Unbuilt attractions that he had designed. So, in the meantime, please follow us on social media on Twitter at UnbuiltPod. You can reach me at OpenMothersMail and Ryan Dorman at OpenTheDorman. Feel free to email us at UnbuiltPod@gmail.com and rate us on Stitcher, iTunes, and Anchor, or wherever you find this podcast. Please write a review and tell us how we're doing. And if you don't like us, thank you for listening to Theme Park Talk. I'm Alexander Bush. We'll see you here next time.